Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode on Intuitive Awakening. If you've been spending some of your time lately, especially over the past month, watching some Netflix, you maybe have seen that there's a new documentary on near-death experiences. This is a wonderful documentary, especially if you're interested in mediumship, because there are some really cool techniques in there to connect to other spirits in the afterlife that I've never tried and probably won't do. I don't know that I'm that brave in some instances, but if you're completely interested in that, I highly recommend you check it out on Netflix. And there are some really great stories of people's near-death experiences discussed in there as well. There's one very famous story, I believe on the last episode, and I can't for the life of me remember what the guy's name is, but if you check it out, it's the last episode. It's a pretty famous reincarnation story. Now, the story I'm going to tell you today, it's actually not in the documentary, which is kind of surprising because it's a very popular story and it's an incredibly credible and verified story of reincarnation. Today, I'm going to be talking to you about Shanti Devi, and I think it's really important to hear her story, especially if you are someone who's still skeptical about the afterlife and whether we actually do reincarnate back into this planet in a separate body, potentially in a different sex, etc. So again, this story today is going to be on Shanti Devi. Now, Shanti Devi was born in Delhi on December 11th, 1926. She didn't really speak much when she was a child, but at the age of 4, she began to speak. And what she spoke about startled her parents. She repeatedly spoke to her parents of her other home in a town called Mathura, which is a town between New Delhi and Agra. She told her parents that she came from a well-to-do family and that the home that she was living in now was actually not her home at all. She even spoke about her earlier life or her previous life as a woman named Lugdi. She spoke about her husband as well, who used to have his own fabric shop. And she spoke about having a son and then dying 10 days later after his childbirth. Now her parents, they didn't really believe her and they thought she was speaking nonsense, essentially making everything up. One day, her family, or her mother namely, you know, made the family dinner. And Shanti Devi really refuses to eat the food that her mom made. And her mom's asking her, well, why aren't you eating what I made for you? And she said she's not going to eat that because it's not considered to be what she calls sattva food. Now, her parents didn't really understand what that meant. And she explains to them that sattva food means you don't eat meat. Now, the word sattva comes from the town that she used to live in. And so that's why her parents didn't really understand what she was talking about. They'd never heard that word before. She explained to them that it was wrong to eat animals. And when she was in her previous life, she only used to make sattva food for her husband, which was vegetarian food. Now, her mom began to think that she was mentally ill. However, her father did think it was possible that she was remembering a previous life and that potentially, you know, this could have been true. His family did believe in reincarnation, and according to the Vedic scriptures, if it was true that she remembered her past life, then unfortunately she was going to have bad luck in this lifetime. The scriptures say that if a child remembers their past life, they would die young. So because of this, he didn't allow his daughter to speak about her previous life anymore. And he hoped by forbidding her to do so, that she would inevitably just forget this life and stop talking nonsense, at least according to her mother. Regardless, Shanti Devi spoke to anyone who would come to her house or anybody who would stop by to visit them. She would talk to them about all the details of her past life. She really, really wanted to go back to her old town in Mathura. And she hoped that if she continued to explain her story to people, someone would eventually sympathize with her and offer to take her back to her old home. While she was at school, she frequently spoke about her life as Lukti. She told her classmates, she told her teachers all about it consistently. And of course, she was teased a lot and made fun of by a lot of the classmates. But one of her teachers took an interest in her story. So he sat down and listened to her entire story. And in an effort to help her, he requested that she tell him the name of her previous husband so that he could reach out to him. Now, in Hindu culture at the time, it was not permitted for a Hindu woman to say her husband's name out loud. But her teacher did promise her that if she told him his name, he would take her to her old town, Mathura. Finally, after a lot of back and forth, Shanti did reveal his name. And his name was Pandit Khandarnath Chobi. We'll call him Mr. Chobi for our purposes. So her teacher pretty much takes initiative and writes a letter directly to her previous husband. And in this letter, he talks about pretty much everything that she's claiming, her entire story, and also reveals that she's claiming to be his previous wife that's reincarnated into the person she is today, Shanti Devi. So he also includes some more details, which I think it's important to point out. Not only does he, you know, say, oh, she's claiming to be your wife, he writes the details that she tells him specifically. Number one, that he owns a fabric shop. Number two, that the shop was located near this very specific temple. Also, number three, that they used to live in a house that was painted yellow on the inside. So he pretty much asks them if his last wife who passed away, if her name was Lukti Devi. And he asks whether or not, you know, any of these claims that she was making were true at all. A few weeks later, her teacher did receive a reply from Mr. Chobi, her previous husband. And he confirms that what she said was true. And yeah, she did pass away. He also confirms that the shop was located near the temple. And he was really curious as to how this little girl far away, who he's never met, how she would know so much about him. And he was super eager to learn if this girl really was his wife, reincarnated. So in an effort to determine this, he asks his cousin to look up her parents in order to find out more about her and her family. He also then asks him to go and visit Shanti Devi in person. So when his cousin meets Shanti in person, she immediately recognizes him as one of her husband's cousins, and she even calls him out by name. So while she's talking to him, she begins to inquire about her son, whose name is Nabanita Lal. And, you know, again, she starts to tell him, you know, all of her memories. She remembers her house, she remembers its layout, she remembers all the details of the house, its location, etc. Now, her descriptions are just so accurate. Everything that she says really shocks the cousin. And so he travels all the way back to Mr. Chobi and tells him, okay, I think this really is your wife that's, you know, reincarnated. So Mr. Chobi decides he is going to go, but he takes his new family with him and they travel to Delhi. So he's taking his current wife and the son that he shares with his previous wife and his cousin to essentially meet Shanti Devi in person. So when they arrive, she was at school, and they go to her house, and they decide to pretend that Mr. Chobi was actually an older brother of her cousin, just to test to see if she would actually remember who he was at all. So her family didn't even tell her that Mr. Chobi was actually coming with his family. And so when she comes home from school, they just simply tell her that she has a visitor waiting for her in this room inside the house. When she enters the room, she immediately recognizes her husband from her past life. And without saying a word, she bows her head in respect by his side, which was custom from Hindu wives in the presence of their husbands. She immediately knew that he was her husband, and she told this to her family. Now don't forget, he didn't come alone. Not only did he bring his cousin, but he actually brought her son and his new wife, and she recognizes her son is there. And so she begins to cry and hug him for a very long time. Obviously, you know, that was her son, and she died in childbirth. And so she was completely overwhelmed when she saw him. She decides to ask her mom to go get some of her toys to give to her son, and her mom goes to grab them and brings them over to her son. So keep in mind, Shanti Devi was more than a year younger than her son at the time. But everyone could see, you know, she was very motherly, very nurturing, and very loving towards him. There was a bond there. So not long after all of this occurs, news begins to spread in the neighborhood about this thing that's occurring, the story, and a lot of people become interested in the story. So her previous husband, Mr. Chobi, and her son and the wife dined with her family. And, you know, Shanti goes out of her way to ask her mom to make sure to prepare all of her previous husband's favorite dishes, and she does so. So while they're eating, Shanti, you know, speaks to Mr. Chobi, and, you know, she's just casually talking to him and his new wife. So think about it, this really young girl is having these adult conversations of times past, etc. But while she's talking, she looks at his new wife, and she recognizes that his new wife is wearing her jewelry. I can't even imagine the reaction I would have if I were to see something like that. So after the meal, she pretty much asks him, with everybody at the table, why he married again, because they made a promise to each other that, you know, when one of them would pass away, the other one would never remarry. So it gets incredibly awkward, but he doesn't say anything. And her father, being super gracious, decides to quickly change the subject and, you know, ask her again to recount some of her memories about living where she used to live, about, you know, some of her friends, everything, just details of what she remembers. So after they finish dinner, Mr. Chobi and Shanti Devi, they go off and they're alone together, but he does this because he wants to ask her some private questions. Now, during that time, he does ask her very personal questions whose answers, you know, only his wife would have been able to answer. So when they return, he claims that he is now 100% certain that she was indeed his wife reincarnated. News of this began to spread all throughout Delhi. And the press and reporters, they document this story, of course, generating even more interest across the globe, not just in Delhi. So finally, after all of this, Shanti Devi finally gets to travel back to her old town, even though her parents were really worried that she may never come back. So they were really reluctant to have her go. This story becomes so popular that even Gandhi showed interest in Shanti and decided to go and meet her. Gandhi appoints 15 prominent people, including people from the parliament, media members, and even national leaders to investigate this case. And so they go to her old town where, you know, she is heading, which is to Mathura. So when Shanti Devi finally arrives at her destination, at her home, thousands of people gathered at the station to kind of get a glimpse of her. When she gets off the train, she recognizes a tall man who's wearing a turban and carrying a stick. So when they see each other, he asks her if she knows him. And immediately she bows down with respect and she touches his feet. Then she rose and stood by his side. She recognizes him as her husband's brother. As they grow through the town, she points out certain features that she remembers. And again, in the crowd, she ends up recognizing more people. Another person, namely, is her father-in-law. So she's starting to remember people from her past life the further they get into town. And so finally, when they arrive at one of the old places that she used to live with her husband, she recognizes that it's not the same color that it used to be, which was yellow. However, she was told that after she passed away, the house ended up changing hands and that the new owners had painted it a different color, so she wasn't wrong. She also remembered other features of the house. She did tell them that she stashed some money under the floorboards in a box, and so when they look, they do see that, oh God, there is a box there, but it's empty. Her previous husband pretty much owns up to taking the money after she passed away. So again, she's having these memories and disclosing everything that is confirmed. While in town, Shanti, she ends up visiting her mother, who's still alive. And she spends a lot of time with her. And of course, her current parents are incredibly worried that she's never going to come back, but they actually give her the choice. It's more her father who's giving her the choice as opposed to the mother. The mother still thinks that she's a little bit delusional throughout this whole thing, regardless of all the evidence, regardless of all the verification, right? And Shanti, she makes a really difficult decision, but she decides to go home and live her life now as Shanti Devi with her new family. 5 years later, there's a physician and researcher by the name of Dr. Bose, and he reaches out to Shanti Devi and her family. He ends up meeting up with them because he wants to learn more about her story. There were a number of reporters and researchers who ended up interviewing her, asking her a lot of the same questions over and over and over, and he was another prominent person to do so. Now, one of the questions he asks her involves what she and her husband spoke about in private that convinced him that she was indeed his wife. So she reveals to him pieces of what they spoke about. And she reveals to him that Mr. Chobi asked her how she became pregnant, even when she was unable to get up or do much because of arthritis. And to this, Shanti Devi explains pretty much the entire process of intercourse to Mr. Chobi, of how, you know, she ended up becoming pregnant, etc., which of course helps to convince him. She also reveals to him an injury that she incurred during a fall that she had. And there were very explicit, exact descriptions, and all of this convinced him of the truth of everything that she was saying. So Dr. Bose, during his time with her, he asks her if she remembers her death. And she tells him what she remembers, which I think is so fantastic. She tells him that shortly before her death, she was praying to Krishna, and she never stopped. Even when she lost consciousness, she kept praying, and her prayer was to come back. Now, several ancient texts, such as the Egyptian Book of the Dead and some Gnostic Christian books, and even more ancient texts, they include information on ways to remember yourself and attain some sort of immortality, or at least some way to hang on to your present identity from life to life. One way to do this is by memorizing and using specific key phrases repetitively at the moment of death. during her life as Lugdi, she made it a point to keep repeating the name of God constantly with full devotion day and night. And at the time of her death, her mind stayed with the divine name. So as she was praying, a cold sensation started to creep over her body from the bottom up. As it swept over her, her heart stopped, her breathing stopped, and her soul escaped through the top of her head, and she moved into another space. This is something that you find in, I would say, several stories in near-death literature, that many souls escape, usually sometimes throughout the chest, but predominantly through the head. She said that she found herself surrounded by darkness. In the darkness, she discovered a shining light above her. In a state that can only be described as cloud-like, she ended up floating towards the light. She was no longer aware of her earthly body on the bed, and she wasn't even concerned with her earthly form anymore. What she knew was that she no longer was in any pain. She found herself standing in bright light. She could see four figures in yellow robes approaching her, and they led her into a beautiful garden, the likes of which she had never seen on earth. Her own comment about it was, "It was more beautiful than I could describe with words." Now, the beings that appeared to her, they were holy, and they were both female and male. And she was told many things then. And what she tells us is this. For example, the place where she was, that there was no darkness, and therefore that no night exists, that the only thing that exists is light. She was also told that we, meaning all of us, we are all the same beings. So it makes no difference whether someone was Hindu, if they were Muslim, or even if they were Christian. None of it mattered, because we're all the same regardless. Now, after having spent a long time in this other world, she was told that, you know, she has to return to Earth. She was going to be born again, and this time as a girl in Delhi. She was also told the name of the father whose daughter she would be. And Shanti did feel a longing to go back, but she really wanted to go back and see her husband and the son that she just had. She experienced the descent to Earth as a path leading back into the darkness. And then she found herself in a small, tight space that she described as being a terrible smell. She was indeed in her mother's womb. While there, all she could think about, again, was her husband, her home, and even her son. Shanti, she ends up spending the rest of her life in Delhi, and believe it or not, she never marries. She vowed that she would never marry in her remarry in her previous life, and so she decides not to marry in this lifetime. Shanti Devi died on December 27th, 1987, and her story again is very famous, and it's held up as one of the most important verifications of reincarnation. I really hope you all enjoyed the story. She has a book out, or at least there are multiple books out about the details of her personal experience and her memories. But what's so intriguing about Shanti Devi is that she never forgot. When you read stories from children who remember their previous lives, they usually end up forgetting when they're like 10 or 12 years old. The memories just, they completely disappear. But Shanti never, ever forgot. And after so many researchers, so many physicians came to visit her and test her over and over and over with all the questions, she never wavered. She never changed her answers. And even her previous husband confirmed that everything that she told him in public and private, 100% confirmed that she was his previous wife. The question always is, why do certain people remember, and why doesn't everybody remember? What's really the lesson in that? And what I love with this story is that she kind of utilized some method to make sure that she would remember her previous life in this life. And I had never heard of that before, to be honest, prior to doing the research for her story. I'm quite intrigued. And of course, I'm going to look into this much further. Not that I have a desire at all to remember this lifetime, but I think it's quite a curious case. But again, an incredibly famous case. But she left her old life behind. She didn't try to go back and establish a relationship. She didn't try to become a part of that family. She decided to pretty much cut the cords, say goodbye, and move on with a new life that, I guess you could say, she potentially chose or was chosen for her upon coming back to Earth. You guys, I really hope that you enjoy this story. Again, it's Shanti Devi. You can find multiple articles and books on her curious case. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Talk to you soon.